Hello, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Research VR podcast. I am your host, Oz Balabanian. And today we have two special hosts and special guests, Mr. Robert Scoble.
Yes.
Hello, Robert.
Thanks for having me on.
And Sasha Tuaney.
Yes, too. Also awesome to be here.
If you guys can give short introductions about yourselves.
Yeah, I just finished a book on augmented reality called The Fourth Transformation, and I'm entrepreneur in residence here at Upload. Been covering the VR space since 2011 when I interviewed the CTO of Metaio, which Apple bought.
Wow.
Awesome. Yeah. Note to myself, never speak after Robert, because there's almost nothing you can say that's as awesome. Cool. My name is Sasha Tuaney. I'm an advisor and mentor and also investor in some VR startups. I've been in the mobile industry for over 15 years. That's fortunately moving into VR. So mobile becomes much more fun again.
Yeah.
With the 360 and the VR experiences we have. And I also like work with some big organizations to help them discover the VR world, what it means for them. And you can find me at Apple VR, also mentoring a few startups here, and discussing, ideating, creating together with the community of futurists.
You'll find him scouring around Upload VR with 360 cameras, just in his natural habitat, trying to figure them out. Honestly, I see you every week with a new one. And today, we just wanted to essentially congregate all the 360 cameras that we have in here. This isn't actually even all of them. We have
They're getting so small, they're getting easier to loot.
Yep. Tiny.
This is the Nokia camera 2020.
Yeah. I'm just doing it.
Okay.
So I love it. I mean, the 360 cameras are probably the latest and greatest in camera technology, except for, I'd say, things like Lightro with light field displays or light field cameras. But right now, we're at a lot of the Chinese hardware manufacturers are concentrating on 360 cameras. You guys have spent a lot of time with them. So I wanted to kind of go through what we have here.
Yeah, it's come a long way. I had the first 360 video at Coachella, a big music festival in California. And back then I had six GoPros in a little ball with a Freedom 360 rig. And it cost about $6,000 for the whole thing. Right?
Wow.
And now you can get a camera for $300 that basically does a better job.
Yeah.
And it's far easier to stitch.
Oh my God. Forget stitching, right? I as a filmmaker don't want to even touch that. I just want it to work. Right. And then you just go in and you create your video. So,
Should we start at high end cameras for filmmakers?
But first, let me thank you for live streaming the Coachella thing, because I didn't have time
to go
there. It
wasn't live streaming.
Like posting it. Posting
it. Although they do.
I totally enjoyed it.
They do live stream now. So,
They did they use Nora or something, right?
Yeah. YouTube was live streaming last year, and I expect that they're going to do a lot more live streaming this year from music festivals like Coachella. Next VR is streaming a whole bunch of music festivals this summer. So we're going to see a lot of VR music festivals this summer.
Yeah. I think live is blowing up, right? Right now there's billboards all around us of Facebook Live, and they're just really pushing it.
Yeah. Although Facebook Live doesn't yet do 360 video, at least on my account.
At least on everyone's account.
So Facebook, if you're listening, we'd love to have 360 live streaming access.
Shameless
plug.
Everybody in the industry knows it's coming, and coming within weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe within days, right? Because Twitter announced it. Twitter announced Facebook Live. In fact, the guy who runs Twitter's VR program was a startup entrepreneur here at Upload, right? So that's them very well. And in fact, I introduced Alessandro to Insta360, which is the camera that Twitter used for its announcement. And in fact, is the company that makes this little one for Android phones that's just coming on the market.
It's actually one of my latest favorite companies.
Yeah.
They ship like several times a year revolutionary stuff.
The company's called Insta360.
Yeah. And they were here yesterday, and they showed us this camera that's coming out for Android. And they also showed us their new pro camera that has, I believe, 8 lenses, and it does 8K. And the 4K off that camera was the best I've seen so far.
Yeah.
So the Chinese are coming on strong.
The Chinese
kicking butt. They're kicking butt. Well, but you know what?
Sorry, we have three of their cameras right now. We have the Insta Nano 360, which is the iPhone-based 360 camera. It just sits in your lightning port.
That's this one right here.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We have the Insta 360 4K. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. Beta. It's the first hardware product I've bought in a long time that has beta printed on it. On the other side, it says like 360, 4K, beta. It's still beta, it's true, but it's already quite impressive already. Yeah. And then the one that you have here, Robert, right? Which is the...
The Insta360 Nano.
Yeah. Little tiny camera. Now, this is Android only. It's a USB-C device.
Right.
They have a separate one coming out for micro USB. But this is obviously made for the newer kinds of smartphones, like the Xiaomi or the Solarin that I have. And it's really nice. It's very small
size, right? To the Samsung.
It's like half the size of the Samsung Gear VR, which makes it a lot nicer to carry in your pockets and stuff.
So that was the InstaPro 360 or Insta 360 cameras. Everything from small phone-based ones to 4K cameras to the 8K camera that they just announced. Honestly, that's the best clear picture I've ever seen in VR, like in a 360 picture or video in VR. It impressed me to the point that I was like, I would actually watch a 360 video in VR at this point. Because apart from that, I like to watch 360 on my phone because it doesn't look bad. No. And look around.
And it's easy, right? I don't carry a headset with me all the time. Although the headsets, I've seen headsets on key rings and stuff like that for popping a phone in real fast.
Right.
But most of the time, you're just, standing in line at the DMV or something and you want to look at a little 360 video on your phone. Coming soon, though, we're going to be wearing glasses in the next year and a half. I think a lot of people are going to start wearing glasses that are going to do full mixed reality. And that's going to be the perfect time to click on a link and see it in full immersive glory.
That's right.
Because it's a lot more fun seeing it in the headset. It really does make you feel like you're there, which when you're looking at it on a phone, it's nice to be able to pan
around. It's not immersive on a phone, but 95% of the users do end up watching it on their phone. And so my whole thing in the past couple of weeks has just been, understand how people are using it and just start creating content for that. Like, Snapchat, whenever they took their spectacle and they had the camera in the front, they're like, they didn't go with you got to watch this in the spectacles or in a headset or something. It's like, no, let's create a circular video that you watch on your phone, but you can rotate your phone through the circular video. And it created a really interesting experience. I think 360 video cameras can be used in that similar fashion, where you can create content that's just made to be consumed on a phone and it could look really cool. Speaking of Snapchat spectacles.
There we go. I do carry these around. I'm still playing around because I'm not a big Snapchatter, but I have recorded, I think, 100 videos and I haven't put up very many.
Wow.
They're fun to watch and I'm starting to play with it to discover my voice and discover what I'm going to do with a show on Snapchat, but this is the best way to make media for Snapchat.
Absolutely. And you mentioned something very important.
But this is not 360.
it is not, right? But it inspires us for a completely new format.
Yeah.
And I think there are a few themes here that 360 does, Snapchat does, and what you just said also to play around with. So it's a new format. It hasn't been around before like that. So we have, and people are like, so how do you use it? How do you use it best? And you know what? No one really knows. We're still playing around with it, how to use it best, how to position it. Like if you see the live stream, you see we have like several 360 camera, one on the corner, one in the middle of the table, one in the middle of the table, one on the side, live stream over there. So how to produce content is a question.
Yeah.
And I think to be playful is awesome.
I think the market is splitting up into three price areas, right? Mm-hmm. You have the more than $10,000 cameras, the Nokia Ozo, which is $45,000.
Yeah.
And you have a variety of rigs that people have handmade and companies, right? There's Jaunt, there's a wide variety of camera companies that are trying to serve the cinematography.
Yeah, and even Google.
These are for people building advertising or building movies. They're optimized for workflows of multiple cameras, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. The Nokia has a way to administer multiple cameras and see a preview. So if you're a director of a film and you have, four cameras around a set, you can see those cameras and control them and change their behaviors.
Right. They're made to be, have post-processing afterwards. They're not run and gun where a lot of these are. And for us, we don't want to sit there and stitch these things.
No.
I almost say, who wants to sit there and stitch? Right?
Nobody. But by stitching, on my first videos, I had to learn to use software that GoPro now owns to stitch the cameras together. And there is some advantage to being able to stitch things yourself.
Of course, and always upgrade.
And if you're a movie maker, you might want to stitch to make the movie, because let's say I was filming a movie and I have my camera crew behind the camera. Well, they're in the shot.
Yep.
So you have to take those three cameras out and replace them when you do a separate shot for the other side, right? Yeah. And you're seeing movie makers really go into this. We're going to be visiting Sundance in a week and talking to the movie maker, people who are making high-end movies or narrative experiences, whatever you call them in 360, because they're not on film anymore. But these new narrative experiences that are the future of Hollywood. And we're going to talk to a lot of film directors there and get an idea of what they're using, like the Nokia camera for.
Isn't it exciting though that we're at the point where we have to reinvent like a lot of how to produce that content?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to Sundance, you're going to talk about things that haven't been talked about before. It's like all new.
It's very exciting.
It's creating the,
as a filmmaker, you have to figure out, because you know when you're making films for a screen, for a normal old screen, you direct people's attention because they're all looking at the same place on the screen. But in 360, I could look over here behind me, I could look over in front of me, I could look to my right, I could look to my left when I'm a viewer, right? And so as filmmakers, we have to figure out how to put the view, the action where you're probably going to be viewing. Yeah. Right. Because if you're not sitting on the couch, you're really not going to use 360 that much.
No. And I think people get that wrong. It's like, oh, I got to put everything all around you. It's like, no. I'm going to watch whatever's in front of me and I'm not going to turn all the way around unless there's like a really, really big reason.
Yeah.
To.
Yeah. Although I almost suggest we like careful here and stay curious.
Yeah.
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 Because we see many forms like the first YouTube video that they did where they catered to the camera. So there was this amazing YouTube video where the 360 cam was in its middle and you see Bono playing, and the drum comes in. And then as you turn around, you see the music shifting into different geographies and another person playing the music, like in the living room, New York, Pakistan on piano. And I just, as you turn around, you see a different experience. This was cool at the time. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I watched it in the Samsung Gear headset where I put a phone in. It was very cumbersome to put all the pieces together, but it was like fun. I was telling everybody about it. Months later, I look at it and it's like, oh, why would you do that?
Right? Yeah.
Because we've learned that the novelty of putting a 360 camera starts, people put it in the middle, and then I realize actually it doesn't really make sense.
Not in the middle.
Then they put it on the side, and it also doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of experimentation, lots of finding a format, or what you said before, you have to reshoot the movie and where the camera team is, take it out, and then do the 360 without camera team. But perhaps some movies want to have it in the room, right?
Yeah.
Or other tech, like this 360 drone, German company, Plug,
cool.
Is designed to be invisible as you film in 360. But perhaps you want to have it visible to be credible. We don't know, but that's exciting.
I think we're all discovering the rules.
Yes.
What works for the average common shot, average common movie. And then you're seeing filmmakers break the rules.
Yep.
For instance, one of the rules might be, or is, don't do a lot of cuts really fast. Yep. Right. And when you're in immersive media, that can make your audience challenged. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's right.
But there's a film called The Argus that I watched last week, and they break all those rules. Yep. Right. And it's very fascinating, but you can tell that will be very challenging for some audiences to participate in.
Yeah.
For me, it was thrilling. Right. Yep. Because they were pushing the camera down skateboard ramps and doing all sorts of graphics and all sorts of fast cuts between multiple cameras.
And now comes the part where you do this and then suddenly the audience feels sick or good.
Yeah.
Depending how
I didn't feel sick, but I could see how it would be challenging for for an audience that's not used to viewing VR. Yeah. And actually, this is something
like the train at the beginning, like when a movie started, motion movies. So the train would run towards the audience would like run out of the movie theater because we're afraid the train coming towards them.
Yeah.
Now they're used to it, right? So we might see things like this in 360 too. But there's a lot of
things. Yeah, and I think a lot of this just goes back to VR, where like people at first were very afraid of putting normal locomotion methods where everything was teleporting. And then people realized like, that's really boring. I don't want to just teleport everywhere. And now they're like, okay, maybe we can do fast travel, or maybe we can actually just add in like a constant moving motion, or you can hold down the grip buttons and actually do a walking motion. And like 90% of users will be fine. There will be a 10% that will get motion sick, but like, let's cater to like what actually is fun and what most people can experience and have a good time with.
Yeah.
We should talk
back to cameras.
Yeah. Cameras. There's the over $10,000 category, which is category one. That's the pro category, right? You gotta be really committed to even rent a Nokia camera. That's $3,000 a day for renting it. Mm. Right. And so if you have a big contract to do, you know, an Audi advertisement or something like that, paying $3,000 for renting a camera is not a big deal. That in terms of the budget, that might be $100,000 to $400,000 for a short little film. That will be a small piece of the budget, right? Mm-hmm. Most of us in this room will probably be in the prosumer world, right? The $1,000 to $10,000 range. In fact, Insta360 brought their pro camera here and it was $3,000. And there's a variety of cameras that are like Ojai that are in that price range that do live streaming, are optimized for doing weddings or doing music festivals or doing sports, right?
Right.
They're better than these little ball cameras. They better in low light. They're sharper. Yeah. They have 3D in the $3,000 price range, right? Mm-hmm. Where these cameras can't do 3D. They don't have enough lenses.
Monoscopic, yeah.
Yeah, the camera that Insta360 brought in yesterday has, I think, 8 lenses. And there's another one from Israel called the Views camera that's is in the under $3,000 price range that also does.
It's quite crazy when you think about it.
Yeah.
Like, we saw the Nokia camera, which is like a 45. It was actually 60,000.
It was 60.
Then it's $45,000.
Yeah.
And like this big thing, and you have to bring a truck of production equipment. And now we see this, what you said, like the Insta 360 8K, which is like you can carry it in one hand. And it has a quality which is not far away from what the Nokia $45,000 camera has, but it's for $3,000.
Right? I'd say a little bit better, actually.
Well,
you're Nokia friends.
We're going to be doing some comparisons next week or 2 weeks from now in Sundance, because we're going to have all the cameras there and we're going to have the crews there to help us figure out why something isn't as good or not. And we're going to have the directors who are already working with these tools giving us tips, right? You know?
And talking about directors, you know what's amazing when you think about it? Because we had an upload not too long ago, like the whole Nokia setup, like 5-6 cameras from Nokia. And we saw the video, the short movie they did. And they showed us all the tricks, how they made the camera invisible.
Right.
Yeah. It was like a lot of effort. And now the camera becomes so small that making it invisible for directors might be much smaller, much simpler. So we might see completely new type of content emerging, because now it's as easy as taking a small GoPro with you.
Yeah.
Which leads me to a GoPro, which is interesting. We don't have a single GoPro 60 cam here, right?
Yeah.
Even though we all love the camera.
GoPro is falling behind in this world. And what we're seeing out of Insta360 is showing why.
Yeah.
They bet harder on mobile. They bet harder on innovation. And
they shipped and
GoPro really is struggling. I don't see good things in the future.
I mean, even they're trying to pivot into drones, and then where are we with the Karma, right? They have to recall it, and now they're trying to do another relaunch.
They're late, and the good engineers have left. And that's something I learned by hanging out here at Upload. We have a lot of recruiters hanging out here because of all the startups that are here.
Yeah.
And a lot of investors hang out in this room, and they tell me where people are getting stolen from. Right. Because that's how if you have a venture funded startup, right, you get $5 million today. All of a sudden you have to go buy, go hire talent.
Yeah.
And you go look at where it is and steal it away.
Right? Yeah.
So Robert just gave away the secret word to find the talent. And Upload VR is true. Yeah, but you're right. But at the same time, it inspires the industry. So what people build in one company, they build the version two in the next. And the exchange of talent between those companies creates amazing product. And you mentioned the pro sector, the prosumer sector.
Which really is a $500 to $10,000.
Absolutely.
And there's a little striation. Obviously, if you buy a camera, like the Views, I think, is under $1,000. Obviously, it won't have the same management features as a camera that costs $3,000. And it won't be optimized for live streaming as well, stuff like that. So,
but we can get quite a lot for the money already, right?
Yeah. And the problem is for media guys like us, we like to talk about the cool stuff, the high end stuff, but the average user can't afford a $45,000 camera.
Right, that's true.
The average user can afford a $200 camera like this Ricoh Theta in front of us. Well, they're coming down to, the 2K cameras are coming down in price down to $200, $300, and the 4K cameras are in the $200 to $500 range. And then there's the 8K cameras that are higher.
And that's actually the amazing thing. So the price barrier comes down and you can get amazing experiences.
Yeah.
So when I discovered 360 video and also like helping this drone company, I was like, okay, I need to understand the format 360. So I went out and bought pretty much every single camera below $1,000 that does 360. So I started with the Ricoh, then the Ricoh Theta S. And I must admit, like in terms of picture quality, amazing. And if you play around with it, you get great results.
Yeah.
Video not that great. So
yeah. There was a PR team at South By that bought their entire team these cameras and asked people to go around and capture South by Southwest on these cameras, right?
See? And it's doable because you don't give away $45,000 cameras. You give away like 400 and soon $200 cameras. But the thing that's interesting, and then Samsung, a huge player in the industry, lots of lens experience, software, and so on. And they brought out the 4K 360 camera.
Yeah.
The one that we see here and here.
The Gear VR. Yeah.
Which was also a great camera, but, and also the user interface was quite good, but it was also around the same price range like the Ricoh Theta S.
But it had a fatal flaw.
Yes.
Doesn't work on iPhone.
And doesn't work on freaking Mac either.
That is such a misstep.
And it doesn't work in any other Android phone.
Oh, really. My God.
And you understand how this stuff happens, right? At Microsoft, we call this the strategy tax.
Yeah. So Samsung, if you're listening, talk with your strategy guys and send them a long coffee walk.
What is a strategy tax?
It means, at Microsoft, it means it didn't get released unless it served Windows well.
Got it.
Right? So you can see the strategy tax. Let's not release a camera unless it only serves Gear VR's ecosystem, right?
And then it pigeonholes itself into this one specific PC Android ecosystem.
The problem with that is the innovators don't stand alone, right? I'm showing one of these Insta360 cameras, and it's half the size of the Samsung. And there's camera innovation coming, and these people don't care about the strategy taxes.
No.
So how does the consumer world spread out? Because these cameras are so new. I mean, I got this one last night. I haven't had time to really compare them yet.
Yep.
And figure out.
I always want to do like compare them. And every time I was like about to set it up, a new camera comes out that changes the game again. Like the Ricoh Theta S, which was great. Then the Samsung, which is good. And then the Insta Nano 360 comes out, which half the price and almost the quality of the
Samsung. And Gyroptics. I have a Gyroptics. It's a little bit bigger than, just a little bit bigger than this one.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes also on my iPhone. And it's what's nice about these new cameras. And, even the Samsung doesn't do this very well. It doesn't attach to a phone.
Yeah.
If you put this on your phone, now you can do live streaming to YouTube right from your phone.
They removed barriers, steps in between, setups in between, and increased the quality and slashed the price.
And this is great for travel, right?
It's amazing.
Letting your family see where you're at, right? Or if you're at a music festival and you're in the front row at Beyonce's concert, you know, at Coachella this year. You pull out your phone, you pull out your little camera, and boom, you're broadcasting 360 VR to all your friends.
Right? So this brings me to the next topic is, what are the best use cases for 360 live streaming? Why would you do it in 360? Because a lot of people are using it wrong. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. And so
anytime you have context that you need to show the space or the amount of things that are cool to look at.
Right.
Coachella is a great example. Coachella has this big, huge tent called the Sahara tent where there's 20,000 people dancing, and they have LED screens all the way back on the tent and there's cool people to look at, right? So you put a little camera on a pole over the audience and now you can look around down and you see all sorts of cool people dancing and you see the performers and you see all the LED screens all the way around. It's really amazing.
It's like immersive, right?
It's totally immersive, but It's very different than taking a GoPro and shooting the same thing, because a GoPro can only show a piece of that tent, right?
And now you see everything and you can decide
where you're going to look. And in fact, if people watched my video, told me they watched my video at Coachella many times because there was some things to look at over here and there were some things to look at over here and some things to look at behind you.
It's almost like when you go to a concert and you're the only person at the concert watching the people performing your favorite band and you're in the front of it. It's cool. You go to the front row. But it's not the same experience when you get like a thousand of people screaming and yelling with you and enjoying the with you. And I think
I
actually
love looking at the audiences at the concert. I just turn around and then I just see this like mass swarm of people experiencing the same thing. That's a really fun experience for me.
And I think that's what we can transport with 360.
Weddings are going to be big with this because you put a camera up front on the altar and you can see everybody, right? So imagine watching that video 10 years later and you're going to be able to relive your wedding. I'm seeing Qualcomm showed me a video, a corporate responsibility video, where they took you into somebody's house in a slum in Africa, and you really feel like you're part of their family, right? Yep. You're able to look around the house and really understand the context of what their lives is like, how tough it is, right?
However, the one thing that I keep seeing over and over again is that they keep putting 360 cameras in audiences at dark concerts where like, not even concerts, it's at a talk. Mm-hmm. It's at the, you know, I don't want to knock them, but like the President Obama's farewell talk. Like I was watching that 360 live stream, which was like 300 feet away where he was a pixel in the video. And I was like, and I scrolled down one post and it was CNN's live feed. And it was just a, you know, telephoto lens right on his face. I was like, that's what I want to see. I want to see his face. Yeah. I want to see his thing.
And that brings up access.
Right. Okay. I'm sure.
The reason I got the first 360 video into Coachella was I was able to get a monopod into Coachella, and monopods are banned. They will keep you from carrying a monopod or a tripod into the venue because they don't want things in the sight lines of people. Everybody there is paying $1,000 or more to be there. Right. So they don't want to ruin the fan experience by having a lot of people with tall sticks in the air. Right. And they want to sell the TV rights to YouTube.
That's true.
And they want to protect the value of that deal, right?
Yeah. But
positioning cameras is going to be really tough for a lot of these kinds of venues. That's why I think it's going to be better away from some of the venues like sporting or music where you just can't get close enough unless you have really good relationships with people to get the cameras on the court or right in the front row of the music concert, right?
And the cool thing is talking about positioning. So fully agree with what you just said. It's all about positioning, and sometimes we cannot get the gear into the space that we need. I'm sure if a year from now, Obama's speech would have been completely recorded in a different way. But funny enough is the way we set it up in that room, we'll be able to compare, like, how does it 360 feel like if you have the end of the table, the middle of the table, in front of someone's face on this side. So we'll discover that some things feel good, some things are too close to comfort, some things are too far from for comfort. That's the one thing. The second thing you mentioned, and I also want to come back perhaps to some some people who watched the live stream got some amazing questions. So let's pick up some of them. But before we go into that real quick, you mentioned weddings, right?
Yeah.
This leads to another thing. How can you share and distribute what you recorded for other people to see? And most people at a wedding are not as geek in tech as the people recording it.
Yeah.
And looking back, I've recorded a few weddings of a friend of mine. And every one of them went, oh, this is amazing. Can you send me the video? It's like, well, it's a few gigabytes of data. And even if I send you the video, I need to set up your computer with the right software so you can watch it.
Yeah. Right?
So we have the creation part, which is getting cheaper and better and less effort and hurdles. But then how can I view it?
And I think this is why I care deeply about what YouTube and Facebook are doing. And Periscope
amazing work
on Twitter, right? Because you can take a small camera like this, plug it on your phone, hold it up in the air and record a building burning down, right?
Yeah.
Or record a Coachella, you know, go to a music festival and let all your friends watch because you were a badass and got to the front row, you know?
Yeah.
And nobody's going to keep you from bringing a little tiny camera like this into a camera.
With your phone, which is the modern lighter, right? Like you would wave the lighter in the old times and now you wave your phone.
Anyway, so you got some questions coming in.
Sure. Which one shall we start with?
And this is a problem. I've used Final Cut Pro and other editing tools, and I'm not a big editor, so I'm more of a consumer. I want to record a 5-minute clip and put it up.
Right.
You know, that's very different from who I'm going to meet at Sundance in a week, where they have crews shooting actors and making movies. Yeah. And then you have to cut those things up and make a really beautiful edited movie. And the tools that they're using are coming along. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we have one tool that everybody has decided on.
Right.
Yeah. I'll have a much better answer to that in a week.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Because I'll know what the pros are all using. Right. Yeah. I know that most of the pros are going to the Nokia right now. At least that's the bleeding edge camera at the top end. My friend Jim Gelduck, who used to work at GoPro and is a cinematographer and is working on many of these kinds of higher end projects, yep, is saying that the Nokia is his favorite right now, but he says there's some camera coming out.
Which one?
So Ozo, the $45,000. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, but
I thought you said for a second Nikon, the Nikon camera, the 4K. Have you tried it?
Yeah, I was at their booth.
It's a piece of beep. Yeah, it's really bad.
Yeah,
Leica.
No, Nikon.
Nikon.
I was waiting for this camera.
Nikon, Kodak, GoPro. They all have these 4K cameras coming out, and they're all different qualities. And I'm wondering if this Insta360 is going to do better than those guys.
I have a strong feeling it will. Because you know what impresses me with the Insta? The moment I bought the first one, it was half the price for almost all the quality of the Samsung gear. Then they brought on the 4K live stitching as a beta version. So Insta360 live stitches, so you can live stream. Then they brought on the one that you just have here, which is amazing in terms of form factor. Those guys are shipping and shipping and shipping and iterating very fast.
Yeah.
And I think other companies, when we watch their product cycles, they're not as fast to get it out. And so they might not be set up.
This is a key. This is a startup that doesn't have a lot of bureaucracy. They're in Shenzhen.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is walk across the street and they can get these things made in massive quantities, right?
Yep.
And they can work with the people making things to reduce the time to market.
Yep.
And that's an unfair advantage that China has that here in San Francisco we don't have.
That's exactly it.
Harman told me they moved the design teams from around the world to Shenzhen and they started winning awards because of the same effect. They were able to walk across the street and go to the place that's making their products and fix things, right? And you know, I used to work at a video capture card company, and we had to make cases and stuff like that for the camera card that and you screw something up and it's 6 weeks later before you get the fix back because you have to make a new mold. You have to make some on the new mold. You have to see if they are good. And it cost $60,000 to make a new mold, right?
And I think that's important in the industry that's emerging. You have to have the startup speed.
Right.
Right. Because it's not ripe enough to build the version 1.1, 1.2. You need to build a version 2 or a version 3 in a completely different approach for the version 4. You need to be ready to throw things away.
You can barely even create a brand in 360 and assume that your users are going to keep with your brand, you know, because they like you. It's so now, fast.
That brings up something.
Before we move on, I want to throw a shout out. Actually, there's a great documentary that Wired UK made about Shenzhen called Shenzhen, the Silicon Valley of Hardware. It's free on YouTube.
That's amazing.
Incredible. And it's all about their incredible iteration speed of their prototypes and how fast you can 3D print prototypes, test it, get another one in the next week, and like fast.
They're like Silicon Valley. They have a really amazing technology store there, or a series of stores. One is 6 levels high. The first floor is just LED lights.
Jesus.
So if you need to make something, that you can buy breadboards and soldering irons and all the things that you need to make a prototype there. And same thing happened here in Silicon Valley with Fry's Electronics, right? And today, Americans can buy whatever they want from B&H Photo or other places on the internet. But having these stores where you get an idea in the morning, you go to the store, buy some parts, and start building a little prototype and getting things working is how you innovate now, right?
Right. It kind of leads me to how I would describe where innovation comes from. We're in Silicon Valley, so a lot of things happen on Google, Apple and Facebook, but I would also put a whole country on the map, like all of China. Yeah. Like, you know, company, and China.
China, yeah. Because
it's such a hardware play, and they're so well set up for that.
So let's go back to the shooting with these little cameras. Mm. These are not like old style 1080p camcorders or whatever, right? You can't zoom in. You nailed it. So if you're not up close, your yeah. user is going to have a real unsatisfactory experience. And that's why it's not going to be good for everything, right? Unless you get a bunch of these, like if you're shooting football, you have to have like buses, six cameras right around the fields.
And with that form factor, there can be amazing content coming out of
it. Yeah. Imagine having a camera like this on a goalpost or, mm-hmm. you know, you can get a drone or a camera hanging underneath that camera that's always on the cables on the football.
Right. Or so cars even. I love the car shots of like, I just want to see movement. And I think that's really
compelling. Yeah, putting this inside a drag racer or inside
or right outside
car.
I want to see it right by the wheel well. I want to see the wheel, you know, I want to see the suspension moving up and down and I want to see the curves that you take.
And now you mentioned something that's actually adding additional complexity for that's format is before the director of the movie would decide what he wants you to see. Mm-hmm. Right? Now we have with one camera, we've already 360 degrees of where we want to look at. And now with several cameras, you have even different viewpoints.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have to think about how can I create something where I let the audience decide what they want to see, but still keep the narrative or the effect.
Yes and no, because you're still placing the camera. And so if I'm placing the camera next to the wheel, I want you to look at all the things around the wheel. Yeah. That is my frame. That is my entire scene that I want you to be. Yeah. Like I'm taking your head and I'm putting it there rather than putting it inside the car. So that's a creative decision that you can make.
I think we see some innovation here.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. At South By, I saw a movie where they put you in a shower and there was a theme of showers in my life.
Shower again.
But it put you in the shower and they remade Hitchcock's murder scene, ooh. The famous murder scene. And so
and you're the guy in the shower or you're,
no, you're in the shower with these two people, one who's getting killed and one who's murdering somebody with a knife. And you can look down at the drain and see the blood swirling around the drain. And that is weird and really cool.
Yeah.
for people who want to.
Okay.
Well, it's entertaining.
That's also the positive version of that, right?
It's entertaining because these cameras, you can put them in places you couldn't put cameras before and experience things in 3D, in context that you couldn't experience before. You could never put a really good camera in a shower because you'd have to have some throw on it. You'd have to have it far away and then be able to zoom in. And these cameras can be right next to the actor and make it feel like you're right in the shower while somebody's getting murdered. It's really crazy. So there's a 14-year-old kid right now who's going to be the next Steven Spielberg, who's playing with these $200, $300 cameras and is going to do something mind-blowing that we don't expect. And all of a sudden they're going to kick off a career in making these new kinds of immersive films. Right?
To that point, I've met the first Snapchat Spectacles filmmaker. Or just Snapchat in general.
It's a start.
Yeah, really. And I was like, why would you make films on Snapchat? And I watch them and it makes a lot of sense. It's ephemeral first and foremost, because it's going to be on her story for 24 hours. She keeps it and you can watch it on YouTube other times. But like her name is Ani Akopian from New York. Fantastic. She used to work at Snapchat. So I guess that gives her that edge.
Okay.
But the first thing I saw that she made was actually a reverse music video that she shot, where the actor was walking in reverse, saying the words and of the songs in reverse. And then everything was, you know, on Snapchat, you have the reverse filter where you play that and then it switches. So in the end, it all looks normal, but the cars are moving backwards. All the audience is moving backwards. The song is played forwards and the person's actually saying it. Yeah. And it's all shot in 10-second clips. So these interesting innovations and creative ideas are starting to come out from the limitations of these technologies, which is very exciting to see. I'm really interested to see more. I think we can experiment a little bit with the Snapchat circular video format. I think you can even do that with this 360 or one of these 360 cameras in general. So I'd love to see more of that. I want to finish up here by just saying, what are we waiting for 2017? What are going to be the trends that people should be looking out for? I'm sure most of the people that are watching this, that are hearing this, don't have a 360 camera. Is 2017 going to be a year that they'll actually like have a reason to be interested in having one?
Yeah. By the end of the year, we're going to get a new iPhone that's going to do VR and mixed reality. And so you're going to be able to snap that into a headset of some kind. And they're coming out with glasses at some point, probably in 2018 as well,
sure,
that are going to do full on mixed reality or next generation augmented reality, right? augmented reality also gets you VR. So you can put yourself right inside one of these cameras with a pair of lightweight glasses. And they're coming this year. In fact, in a couple of weeks, I'm hearing we're going to see the unveiling of a 4-ounce pair of glasses by Meta and Loomis. So we'll see how that works out.
See, yeah.
But by the end of the year, we're going to have a phone that really does amazing VR. And we already have things like Gear VR that sold 5 million units. And we have Google Cardboard that can be used to experience a wide variety of these 360 videos.
Daydream.
Daydream is $79 if you have an Android phone, right? You can put your phone into a Daydream device. So
consumption is going to get better too.
And consumption and the numbers are going to show up. Apple's going to sell more VR in one day than the rest of the industry has combined, right?
Which almost means, like, when you think about the disruption mobiles brought to the camera industry, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're like a multiple times of smartphones sold than all the camera in the world together.
Right.
So that's why, and with that, also more content started to emerge. Not everyone who has a DSLR or a small snapshot camera can take pictures, but everyone who has a mobile phone can take pictures.
Yeah.
And now if everyone has a mobile phone can do 360, so there's going to be a huge competition for...
I think once consumers really get used to this, they're going to like it a lot better. Because you don't have to aim the camera. You can, you know, if your kid is walking for the first time, in fact, Mark Zuckerberg filmed his kid walking for the first time on a 360 camera.
You're there.
You're there. First of all, you just put it up and then you get back to paying attention to your kid, which is what you should be doing, not aiming at a camera at your kid and missing the moment, right? But now a camera can be set up here and capture the kid walking for the first time. And I believe consumers are really going to love this form factor. It's a lot less work.
Right.
To use than a phone is, right? Even though you're going to stick one on the end of your phone maybe and hold it up or put it somewhere, right?
But it's also liberating one thing. You don't need to think about framing the shot right now. You just put it there.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And you're a part of the action too if you want to. Like right now we've got like one, two, okay, a few... A few 360 cameras, no one is operating them.
Like over six of them,
I don't know about the quality, if it's like watchable, right? But it gives a good feeling like,
actually, here's a tip. So like this Samsung Gear VR has two lenses on. So there's a logical seam where the two lenses are joined. Don't be there.
Yeah.
Don't put anything important there if you can, right?
That
might have a little fuzziness on it as the computers are stitching the two images together. And keep in mind, you'll have a little less resolution at the edges of your lenses because the lenses are being pushed optically and the sensors are being pushed at the edge. And there's more distortion that has to be corrected. So you're not going to get as nice an image on the end of the image. So put your main action right in front of one of those lenses.
Like we have here, right? Us and us two, right?
Yeah. I want to see more movement when it comes to 360 videos. I want to see people walking with it and like actually just walk along with it. I get it. There's motion sickness. There's camera shakiness. But I think gimbals, which are like really cheap and all around us now, I've been trying to retrofit a gimbal for an iPhone for a 360 camera. It hasn't worked yet.
We know that filmmakers have told me that the best way to make somebody sick is to accelerate the camera.
So change direction. Be careful, experiment,
but know the rule, right? Know the rule and then break the rule explicitly to get an effect or to get your audience to feel something. But if you're doing that a lot, you're probably going to get people really challenging videos, and they're not going to like that.
Not if you watch it on your phone, which is what most people are going to do.
I know, but they won't be soon, right? And you have to, if you're buying one of these cameras, you're planning for the day when people are getting little glasses to view these things. And viewing them in glasses is way better than viewing them on your phone. Oh, yeah. So you have to plan for that time.
Huge difference.
I'm doing things that I can do now and see what kind of interesting results you can get.
Remember, everybody's going to get glasses in 2018, right? Oh, yeah. And so your videos are going to be viewed under new eyes and you have to plan ahead.
I love you, Robert.
Yeah.
I just hope
future
all this,
is. Yeah, awesome.
I really hope all this video doesn't look like crap in like 3 years when we do all have
glasses. It will. But it looks awesome for today. We're going to be the U2 equivalent for a few, for a little bit.
Let's do
any other question we should
any shout quick. Outs.
Lana Simpson is asking for a domain, how to put it to good use. Well, like any domain internet, be creative. Surprise us, we don't know.
I hear .xyz is hot these days.
Okay, maybe it's hard to manage the set too. Well, since
Oida is asking about editing, if you're a pro, you can edit each camera separately. In fact, most of the pro camera levels cameras let you download the video from each camera as a separate file, and then you can stitch it later in software. So you can maybe take one camera this way and capture you, right? And then this guy over here isn't performing well, so you take him again and stitch him in later. Right. Or if it's too complex to shoot all in 360, you can do a lot of editing that way. Mm-hmm. And there's no rules. This is soft. You know, when you're playing with bits, there's no rules. Just how much money does it cost to do what you're dreaming of? You know? And my dreams are about a $200 dream. So I can just hold a camera on a stick and put it up on Facebook.
Yeah.
But people who are really, really hardcore about making films, they're going to have much bigger dreams, and they're going to do a lot of cool things with cameras and with multiple cameras and flying cameras and cameras on dollies, right? You see people who are doing professional cameras. They have tracks laid out on, like, if you're really going to film a music festival, you want to put a track out there. So you have a constantly moving camera. Yeah. It really makes the experience much better. And pros know this, right?
Cool. Pros and consumers, amazing things will come out 17, 18, but you can already have a lot of fun today. And I think the best setup for a lot of fun in 360 today is, like, get a camera you know how to use. Technique is sometimes better than the specs. Yeah. So knowing how to use a Ricoh 360 is better than using like a 8K camera where you don't know where to put it.
Yeah.
And the other thing is also really, really recommend you try to watch it in a 360 headset. It's such a difference, because if you have it on your phone, you swirl around with a finger, or you have it in your laptop, it's a tenth or a hundredth of the experience what you have if you put in your Samsung Gear headset, in the Daydream headset, whatever holder you have, that the gyroscope, as you move your head, moves the picture. It's a multiplication of experience. Yeah. It's amazing.
And that's why the Nokia cameras are aimed at people who are directing while wearing the headset. So if you have six cameras shooting a stage, you want to be able to see what that thing looks like
and feel
while the actor is performing in front of you, right? Yeah. So you can know whether you need to do a second take because you didn't get the performance you wanted or whatnot, right?
I agree. So, Robert, how can people find you?
Everywhere, but Facebook is the best place where I put most of my energy. But I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn and
Robert Scoble.
My blog soon.
Just search for Robert Scoble. Everything will come up.
Yeah,
Sasha
is the best place.
Facebook, it is. Yeah. Sasha, how can people find you?
Also Facebook much better than LinkedIn. Send me a direct message under Sasha20. Sometimes we're using the hashtag Coffee with Sasha to record like some fun short videos about the industry and nature, or under New Reality Labs. I'll try to aggregate and bring things together.
And you can
find us at Upload. Amazing events here.
Yeah, if you guys come to Upload VR or Upload Collective, you will find all these amazing people up and around here. And you can find me at AZADUX. On Twitter and everywhere else. And the Research VR podcast is also at researchvrcast.com. Thank you all for joining us today. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Sasha. This has been a fun little medley of 360 cameras and a lot of good discussion on what are the best use cases and practices of 360 cameras, where we see this going, and how does this affect just consumer electronics in general. So
perfect.
Thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you next time.